Welcome to the first night of the Wednesday night Vad. This year we will be learning Mitzvah Hashem, the Torah of Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Reb Shimshon Pinkus is one of my favorite sources of Torah. He was nifter very suddenly in 2001. He was really a rising star in Eretz Yisrael in terms of Gedolei Yisrael. He was actually, interestingly enough, he was born and bred in New York, in Brooklyn. So he spoke a fluent English, which is a rarity for Gedolei Eretz Yisrael. And later in life, he learned, after learning, I believe, in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, he went to Eretz Yisrael as a bacher. He learned in Brisk. And that's where he began his aliyah. If you ever want to read something really interesting, buy his Haggadah or get a copy of his Haggadah. And in the front of the Haggadah, he writes about an experience that he has that he attributed to the beginning of his growth in Torah. You know, a lot of times people have these breakthrough moments of... Thank you. Breakthrough moment in like when their aliyah in Torah began, and he attributed it to Erev Pesach, actually the night of the Bedika of Chametz, which is the Arlar Ba'asar, the night before Pesach. He tells a story how he was in his dorm room in his Dira when he was learning in the Brisk Yeshiva. And all of his roommates were gone. They all went back to America, I guess, or wherever. They went home, and he, for some reason, stayed in Eretz Yisrael, stayed in the Dira. What happened was that he thought that he did a good bedikah on the entire apartment, and all of a sudden he realized that, and he was exhausted. He spent a half a night doing the bedika, scrubbing it all down. And then all of a sudden he realized that there was also an additional attic that was shayach to the dira. And he said, I don't have to go up there and start cleaning it. It's probably disgusting up there. The dira itself was probably disgusting to begin with, but that he got over, he did that. But then, so I have to really go up there? And he started making, all of the deliberations in his mind of makam shein machnisim bay chametz ein tzrichim bedika. You don't need to be baidik if nobody ever brought chametz. And he says, who am I fooling? Maybe some guys did once in a while bring chametz in there. Anyway, it was already very late at night, and he was exhausted. The last thing that he wanted to do was go up to that attic and continue to scrub down that attic. But he did, and he spent mamish the entire night scrubbing that attic until it was perfect. And then he made the kol chamira afterwards, and he thought, okay, I just blew my whole Pesach. Now I'm going to be exhausted. I'm not going to be able to do the avodas hayayim on Erev Pesach, and Seder night I'm going to be so tired. Chalamayit is going to be shot. The last day of, he says, but something magical happened to him starting that night. As soon as he broke through his not wanting to do that mitzvah properly, and he did it with all of the hidurim, at that time he got a second wind, and he felt a certain spirit that was pushing him, a wind in his sails, and he wasn't tired at all the next day. He stayed up both Seder nights, or actually one Seder night, was Eretz Yisrael. He stayed up that whole Seder night, steiging and learning the entire night, saying the Sipurit Tzitz Mitzrayim until Alayis HaShachar. He was on fire for davening the whole Chalamayit. He was learning the last day of... He was mamish. And from then on, as soon as he overcame that Yetzahara, if you will, to not go the extra mile for the mitzvah, once he was Meiser Nefesh for that mitzvah, B'dikas Chametz, that's the moment that he felt that his entire life changed, his entire Avedis Hashem changed, his relationship with the Rabbi Nishalom, because he gave so much that evening of himself. the Rabbeinu Shalom sort of repaid him, and there was a beautiful relationship that developed, and from then, that's when his godless really began to soar. The tragedy of that story, and this is really what's brought out in the Hakdamah to his commentary on the Haggadah, is that in 2001, which he was still a young man, and he was at like the height, he was Rashiv and Ofakim, and he was going all over the country and the world delivering drushes and chizuk and esayrus. He was with his wife, and some of his children were in the back seat. He was driving, and he got into a terrible car accident, and him and his wife and I think one of his daughters died on the spot. And this was such a... And this was like such a tragedy that, you know, Klal Yisrael, I remember it very clearly, and I wasn't even in Eretz Yisrael, like, we didn't really know who Pinchas was at the time, because his Svarim, which became like runaway bestsellers, really only were published after most of them. Some of them were published by him, Bechayev, like Sharm B'Tfilah and others, but many and most of them were published after he was Nifter, all the ones in the Yom Tovim, and this one called Tiferes Shimshon, which is a likud of a lot of his Taira from his other Svarim, and many, many Svarim. There's like, you know, dozens of Svarim out there, and in English they're starting to translate a lot of them as well. All of this came about after he died, but the people that knew how great he was understood what a loss this was to Klal Yisrael. Rav Shach said that he was going to be the next Gadol Hadar. He was in line to be the next Gadol Hadar. And he tragically died. And what was the Yahrzeit? Well, what day did he die? On that same day of Erev Pesach, that the day that he was born, as it were, that from that...
that Mokdom that year.
The day that he was born, from that steiging of the Aliyah that he made from the Bidikas Chametz, that Arla Arba Asar, that was the day that he would ultimately be Nifter, also the Arla Arba Asar, the day of the Bidika. And so this is something that, you know, shocked Klal Yisrael. We don't know how much he would have contributed had he been still alive. There's also a very scary letter that we have from Pinchas. There's a small volume that I have in the Beis Medrash if you want to see it. It's the letters that Pinchas wrote. And one of them is really frightening, because one of them, he writes about how he really doesn't want to drive. He doesn't want to drive. He never wanted to drive. I guess the letter was to a yeshiva bacher, and he was trying to talk this yeshiva bacher out of getting a license and out of getting a car. He says, it's just bittul Torah. It's just a waste of money, a waste of time, a waste of responsibility. He says, just sit and learn and forget the car. He says, you're going to ask, why do I have a car? He says, I don't want to have a car. But the Gedolei Yisrael told me that I should get a car in order to drive to all of the locations where they're asking me to speak. And so that's why I have a car, but I don't want a car. And it was almost like a prophetic letter, you know, saying that that car would end up doing him in. Many, many years, you know, every year I pick new Svarim to learn together with the Vadin, and I keep coming back to Rav Pinchas' Torah. I must have done Rav Pinchas at least two or maybe three times, not concurrently, not back to back, but you know, maybe skipping a year in between. And the reason is not because I'm lazy and I don't want to prepare a new Torah, but just because the Torah is so compelling. Rav Pinchas' Torah is so beautiful, and it's so current, and it speaks to this Dar in such a powerful way that I feel that it's really, you know, perhaps the greatest source of chizuk and Torah that we could really glean from. So without any further ado, let's see what he writes. We're going to see a short piece from him this evening, and we will, Mitzvah Hashem, gain a lot from it. So the pasuk in this week's parasha, and of course we're going to generally be doing it parasha by parasha, unless it's like before Yantif, you know, as we're getting closer to Rosh Hashanah, we'll try to mix it up and do some Rosh Hashanah pieces, some Yom Kippur pieces, some Elul pieces maybe. And as we get closer to Chanukah, Purim, Pesach, will Mitzvah Hashem also be exposed to his Torah on those Yom Tovim as well. Okay, so in this week's parasha it says, Shalish Pamim Bashana, Yeroya Kol Zechorcha El Pnei Ha'adin Hashem. 3 times a year, every single male is supposed to be Eila Regel and to appear before the Rabbi Nisham, Ha'adin Hashem. Isa B'Gemara, the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Nandala Mal says, Amar of Katina. Rav Katina says, B'Sha'a Shahai Yisrael Eilin L'Regel, when Klal Yisrael were Eilin L'Regel, Megalin Lahem Es HaPareiches, so they would sort of get a tour of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Klal Yisrael came all the way from Haifa, from Netanya, from Nahariya, wherever they were coming from, they came to the Makam HaMikdash, they were Eilin L'Regel, and they got a tour of the Makam HaMikdash. One of the parts that they were shown was Megal Lames HaPareiches Umarin Lames HaKruvim Shayim Urim Zebazeh. They would roll back the Pareiches and they would show the people that came the Kruvim. And the Kruvim, which of course was those two figures there's different mepharshim exactly which kruvim this is referring to, because there were various kruvim inside the Mishkan. Some say it was talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is hard to believe that everybody would actually get to see inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and maybe that's one pshat, and I don't know if they were Ma'urim Zeba Zeba, but there were also kruvim that were on the walls of the Mikdash, and they were Ma'urim Zeba Zeba, which means they were embracing one another. And the Aimrim Lahen, and they would say to them, meaning the tour guide, the person that would show them these kruvim, would say, Ru'uchi baschem lifnei hamakim. Look at how beloved you are to the Rabbi Nishalem. Kechibas zachar unakeva. Just like a male and a female have a certain attraction to one another, there's a certain affection between a zachar and a keva. That's how beloved you, Klal Yisrael, are to the Rabbi Nishalem. That's the beautiful Gemara in Yuma. And this would obviously be for a purpose. This wasn't Stam, you know, just saying it. Obviously, there was a purpose involved in them giving this type of explanation when being shown the Kruvim. Bi'arei Nira. So here comes Rav Pinkus, and he explains in his unique way. Shekol ava hitaitza'a mehakaras hamayla oy mehakaras hashaychas. Ava, when you speak about love, it generally comes out, it's driven by what? By understanding one another, by having a relationship with one another. For example, he says, Ha'av, af im yiras b'nai lefnei einav, im eni yadeyashu b'nai la yimashach elav la yargashem ava klapov b'teva. Let's say I see somebody that's my biological son. But I don't know that he's my son. He was separated from me at birth, and then, you know, 20 years later, he appears to me. I don't know that it's my son. So would you say, oh, there's a natural, instinctive ava that I have towards him? No, because I don't know that he's my son. Why do I have a particular ava to my son? Because he's my son. I have to know that he's my son in order to have that special relationship that forms between a father and a son. I have to know, it's built on a relationship, it's built on an understanding that of who this person before me is. If I don't know who it is, and you know, I don't know, I no reason for me to have a special affinity for him more than anybody else in the world. Avo be'inyin chiba zachar unakeva. When it comes to the chiba that exists between a zachar and an akeva, amru chazal, Chazal say ha'ayin raya, v'alev chaymed, that the eye sees and the heart wants. What does that mean? Shein etzarach yaiser meriyah ba'alma. What Rav Pinkus understands from this Gemara is that if a person sees a nekeva, when a zachar and a nekeva see one another, then there's a concept in the world called love at first sight. What does that mean? I see somebody and immediately I'm attracted to that person. I'm not attracted to her because, you know, she's my wife, because she's my friend, because I have a special, I don't have anything with her. The only thing that attracts me to her, the reason why I have that feeling of love, is just because I see her. Ha'ayin raya v'alev chaymed. As soon as I see her and I find her attractive, automatically the lev starts pumping and you want to start a relationship with her. V'lachein nokat ava zachar l'nekeva v'la ishlishtei. Notice, says Rav Pinkus, how the Gemara doesn't say Ruuchi baschem lifnei amakim kechi bas isha ishvi isha, a man and a husband and a wife. Doesn't say that. It says zachar nekev. You know why? Because a husband and a wife, their relationship is already built on a pre-existing relationship. A person loves his wife. Why? She's my wife. She's my wife. Do I love her because I'm attracted? Hopefully you're attracted also, but that's not the reason why it's like my son. I know that he's my son, that gives me an attraction to him. I know that she's my wife, that gives me an attraction. A zachar and a keva, a random person that you see, you know, and you all of a sudden have a chemda for her, that's something that is purely like instinctive without being built on anything. There is absolutely no relationship. You know nothing about one another, but there's an attraction. There's an ayin raya, and a lev begins to be chaymid. Because shebein ish leisha yeshchein nice is a special thing. I know that she's my wife. This woman that I saw randomly, I don't know that she's my wife, and I want to know her better. V'hine kasha Yehudi bal lebeis hamikdash. When a yid comes to the beis hamikdash to be oil regel, Laharis impanov lifnei Hashem, to be seen before the Rabbeinu Shloim kaviyachol, harei libay shavur bekirbay, biyaydai kaitzer meisav klapei bayrei, v'akol galui v'yadua lifanov. You know, people when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they generally like one of the you go to the kaisel, you go to Kever Rachel, you go to Maris Machpelah, you go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Everybody's like running to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's understandable. But I tend to like run the other way. I don't necessarily, I've been to him many times, don't get me wrong, but I'm not like, unless I need like a real brach of him, I don't want to go there. Why? Because besides for the bittul Torah that, you know, you don't want to cause Reb Chaim Kanievsky because he's holding up the world, but besides for that, they say about Reb Chaim Kanievsky that he looks at you, at your face, and he knows everything about you. For example, they say stories about him that somebody came to him and he was having a lot of tzaras and health issues, and Reb Chaim looks at him, he's like sort of like fixed on staring at his forehead. And the guy is like, is there something on my forehead? Like, you know, so Reb Chaim is just looking, he says, are you makbid on not eating tarfus? He says, of course I'm makbid not eating, what are you talking about? He says, I think that there's something that you're consuming that's treif, and once you stop consuming that, then you'll get back to good health. Anyway, the guy didn't know what he was talking about, but he went and he did some research, and sure enough, he was taking some medication. In that medication, there was like lard and tarfus, and Reb Chaim saw it, how, because they asked him, how'd you see it? He said, I saw like a cow on his forehead. If I was a real businessman, I would probably stand outside Reb Chaim's house and sell ski masks. Because I don't think people would necessarily be so comfortable, you know, knowing that this man that I'm visiting, that I'm getting a buha from, you know, is actually really seeing everything that I do, good, bad, and ugly, everything that I do is known before him. It's pretty scary if you stop and think about that. You know, you wonder, like, what is he seeing when he's looking at me? I'm seeing a god, I'm getting a selfie, but like, what's he doing? What's he doing? And so, imagine now, lahavdil elef alfei avdalos, I mean, not in a, imagine you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you're mamish b'makim the Shechina, and everything is goli v'yadua, everything is known before the Shechina. When you stand in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to understand, it wasn't just a visit, like I'm going there, bringing karbanis or whatever, you're basically understanding that you're standing before Hashem. The Pasuk says that Yeirah calls a churcha al pnei Adon Hashem. You have an appointment with God. Now, the Rabbeinu Shalom sees everything that we're doing. He knows everything that we're doing. He knows every avera that we think about, that we crave, that we have done. Whatever it is, he knows it. So here I am, I'm standing in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm petrified. And they say about Reb Chaim Volozhiner, every single time he came before the Vilna Gaon, his Rebbe, Dala Don Nakshin, he wrote that his knees were like banging against each other in fear and trepidation. This is his Rebbe. It's not going to somebody they never saw in your. Every time he went before the Vilna Gaon, he was so scared that his knees were banging in trepidation against one another. Imagine how you would feel standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod and knowing that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking right through you, that your mamish made of glass, and he could see everything. He's Beichen Kleyes Volev. It's petrifying. And the Jews that were visiting understood this. They weren't us that were in Never Never Land and, you know, in denial. They understood this. They were talking about people that lived in the time of the Mikdash. These were very holy people. They knew it. So they were standing there in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and they were terrified. Al kein goylem lemapareches. Therefore, what they did for them to help them was they would roll back the pareches. Loimar shachiba kan eina chiba shal hakaras maila ela shal re'ia. Don't think that the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't love you because of what you're not. That's when, you know, when you have a pre-existing relationship with somebody and it's a father and a son, and let's say the son disappointed the father terribly, then you could say, okay, the father's not so happy seeing the son and the son is nervous to appear before his father. A husband and a wife, if there's some, you know, machlekes between them, sometimes it's not so easy to come back to one another. So Klal Yisrael were told when they were Eila Regel that there is a basic love that the Rebbeinu Shlom has for you. Not Ish V'Isha, not Avu Ben, but Zachar and Akeva. Meaning the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking at you and he loves you merely because he sees you. He sees you and he wants you. He sees you and he loves you. Without any preconditions, without any, you know, checklist, without anything that you have to bring to the table or you don't have to bring to the table, just because you're a Yid, the Rebbeinu Shlom naturally loves you. All you have to do, and you did that, you were Mekayim Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, you appear before him in the Mikdash, Kvar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyavai U'Mechavavai Machmas Ariyah Greda. The Rebbeinu Shlom already loves you just by seeing you. He's attracted to you. He wants you. He cares about you. To just merely be seen before the Rebbeinu Shlom, it automatically inspires love. Just like a Zachar in a Keva, a Zachar sees in a Keva across a room, who is that? I want to know her better. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom is. There's no, do you want to know all about, I don't want to hear all the fine details. I just want to know her. But you don't know anything about her. That's right. I don't want to. I don't want to know any chesrenis. I just want to see the milus in her. That's how it is with the Rebbeinu Shlom. The Rebbeinu Shlom, when we are standing before him and we're nervous, we're soothed by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really loves us intrinsically, just by seeing us. You came to the Mikdash, you're here, that's it. I love you. V'gam bizman hazehu kach. And don't think for a second that things have changed just because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Kidechsev ashrei yeshve v'secha. Fortunate is he who dwells in your home, in your house. Gam b'lit tairo tfilo. Imrak mara adam es atzim lov nashim esperah v'es haktesa v'es hamedrash. Today we also have a Beis HaMikdash. It's right next door. The room next door is a Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mikdash Mat. The shuls that we daven in, Mikdash Mat. The places that you learned in Eretz Yisrael, Mikdash Mat. Wherever you go, that's a makam of Torah and Tefillah, that's like the Beis HaMikdash in our times. And so merely going into the Beis Medrash, or maybe even in this room, and sitting down, before even anything starts, any shiurim, any chavrusa shab, any tefillah, ashrei yeshve v'secha, you come, you're fortunate, you're lucky. But I did nothing yet, I didn't daven, I didn't learn, it doesn't matter. the second that you enter the portals of a makam that's mekudosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you and he loves you. Imrat Mara, the Mesasmoth Neshem, Misbach, Mesak Nesel, Mesak Medrash, you just come. Ayidekach Ma'irer, Hu, Ava, Gedaila, Elav, Me'abar Yisbarach. Immediately the Rabbeinu Shem loves. This is very, very important for us to know. Because a lot of us go through life, and I don't know where it comes from, but we are sort of stuck with the perception of the Rabbeinu Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perpetually angry at us. And that's why we're full of guilt, because I did this last night, and I did this in the summer, and in high school, oh my gosh, you don't even want to hear what I did. And the Rabbeinu Shalom, I have to spend my whole life doing tshuva, and maybe the Rabbeinu Shalom then will begin to start liking me a little bit. What we're learning tonight is the most fundamental yisayit possible, and it involves like changing our entire mindset and our brain, like recalibrating our minds to think about the Rabbeinu Shalom in a completely different way. The Rabbeinu Shalom loves you. The Rabbeinu Shalom has a chiba, zachar, unikeva. No matter what we do in life, yes, do we have to do tshuva? Absolutely. We're entering the time of tshuva, and it's a great time to be in yeshiva. A whole month of El is gevaldik. It's a time to do tshuva. It's a time to get closer. It's ani l'daydi v'daydi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved doesn't say I'm to my husband, and my husband's to me. Daidi is like somebody that you love. It doesn't say a father and a son. It's a daidi is really technically like an uncle, but an uncle is also like an unusual form of relationship. A father and a son sometimes don't get along so well. Sometimes they get along very well. Sometimes there is friction between a father. My father didn't allow me to go shana dalat Eretz Yisrael. Off with his head. That's it. I'm out. Right. There's a husband and a wife, we know, you know, fraught with a lot of tension in certain relationships, a lot of machlekes, sometimes great relationships, sometimes bad, but there's some tension between a husband and a wife very often. A nephew and an uncle do not have that. If you have an uncle that, you know, that's very close with you and, you know, loves you, he'll get you a job. And he'll give you what you need, and you always can go to him for advice and for help and for love unconditionally. Anila Daidi V'daidi Li is a new way of looking at the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's Chaydish El. Chaydish El is, I have a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom that's so warm and so loving that we're Me'urim Zebazet. El is really not a scary time of year. Some yeshivas make it very scary. And it's like frightening, and I could quote you a lot of sources that it should be frightening, and it is frightening. But I think that for us, El should be a delicious time of year. It should be like a very warm time of year, because it's a time of year that you, if you're in tune to it, you're able to get as close to Rabbeinu Shalom as possible. Now, I had a grandmother, Aleha Shalom, who was a very holy woman. And I remember asking her when I was very, very young, you know, she died when I was 5, 6 years old, so I don't know, I must have been really young. I asked her, what's your favorite day of the year? You know, my favorite day was probably Hanukkah or my birthday or something, you get presents. What's your favorite day of the year? And she said to me, and I remember till this day how like surprised I was. She said, my favorite day of the year, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur? Kippur is the worst day of the year. You can't eat. You know, you're fasting all day. You're praying all day. You can't do anything on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is like a horrible day. It's like, you know, it's Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. They're neck to neck, you know, toe to toe. Like, which is the worst day of the year? And she says, you have to understand something. She says, Yom Kippur is a day that I don't have to be distracted by eating and drinking and cooking and cleaning, and I get to spend the day with the Rabbeinu Shalom. I have a machzer in my hand, and I dive into the Rabbeinu Shalom, and I get as close can be with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what Yom Kippur is, and that's really what the whole month of El is. Obviously, we do eat, we do drink, we do have the regular daily life, but if you're in touch with what Elul is, it's really a time of Ani L'day D'V'day D'li. And don't think, well, I'm such a sinner, I did so many bad stuff, the Rebbeinu Shlom is so mad at me. No, he's not. He's not. The fact that we're in yeshiva, the fact that we're in the right place at the right time in our life, we could have gone to other places, we could have gone to colleges that are Gayesha colleges, or this or that, we could have been in a million different places, but the Rebbeinu Shlom, Bashkochas El Yaina, planted us here in a beautiful yeshiva with wonderful chevra, with wonderful rabbeim, an awesome mashgiach. It's not normal how lucky we are. Ashra yeshiva v'esach, how fortunate we are just to be sitting here. Yeah, but I bottled too much during Seder. Maybe so. My kavana in davening is awful. Who cares? Ashra yeshiva v'esach, just merely being here. By being here and coming to the Beis Medrash, not sleeping in the dorm, but during Starim, by coming to the Beis Medrash and sitting in the Beis Medrash and soaking in the Kedusha, for that alone we are fortunate. That itself is the Rebbeinu Shlom seeing us, and instead of being petrified of the Yom HaDin, understanding that there's a chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that's unparalleled in the history of the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, and he loves you. And do we have to atone for our sins? Yeah, but that's also an act of love. Tshuva is the biggest gift that he could give us. Tshuva is, it's an avodah, and you have to do it, and it's hard, and it's... But is there a greater gift than being able to go back in time and undo the sins that we did so that we're able to have a clean slate? How much would you give if you were on death row, you know, for murdering somebody, and somebody comes in and says, I'm going to pardon you. And, yeah, but what about, you know, I know, but thanks a lot, but, you know, there was videotape of me standing, no, I deleted the videotape. What about the witnesses? Don't worry about them, they're gone. And what about all, you know, the fact that there was a court, you know, there was a stenographer in court that, you know, what do they call that? The stenographer? Yeah. There's a name for it, I think. What?
Stenographer.
Yeah? Okay, good. You know, and she took all the, you know, it doesn't matter. We did away with that. We mamish burned down the whole, you know, the courthouse. It's gone. I mean, there's not a single trace of what I did. No. You're a free man. Would you pay $1 billion for that? Would you pay $1 trillion for that? The Rebbeinu Shlom is mamish doing that. If you think I'm exaggerating, the Ramchal says it's Mesilas Yesharim. He doesn't just speak about the Averis when he speaks about tshuva. He doesn't say about, you know, you cheated on a test and you watched videos and you spoke Lashon Hara. No. He says, Hare Rotzach, Hare Na'af. You did the Gimel Chamuris. You killed somebody and you committed adultery. You did the worst Averis possible to man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you are able to do tshuva, the Lashon of the Ramchal is, Akiras HaRotzen, Kakiras HaWat, HaMaisa. Just merely wanting to undo in my head the Rotzen of that Avera means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deletes the actual Maisa from the book. It didn't happen, but it did. It did not. Didn't. There's no greater act of love than that. Than tshuva. So the whole month of Elul, if we look at it like dreading it and like, you know, slichas and this and that, and every bad connotation of Elul, we're going to miss the whole point. The point of Elul is Hashem is saying, I love you. Ani l'day d'v'day, we have a relationship. I love you not because you're my son and now I'm disappointed in you. I love you because k'chi basachar nekev, I don't know anything about you. I just love you for being here. And so during Elul, the more that we're able to, which is coming up Shabbos and Sunday, the more that we're able to show up, just be here. Just come to the Beis Medrash, learn, daven, try to do the right thing, try to better a little bit. You don't have to change your entire persona. Be a little better. Little Kabbalah here and there, do a little more. And the Rebbeinu Shlom will instantly like open up the entire world for you. There's a chazal that says, Atem Pischuli Pesach, thank you. Pischuli Pesach Yechudesh al Machat, open up for me a little hole like the eye of a needle V'ani eftach lachem karubas hashamayim. I will open up for you the expanses of heaven. You just have to do little things. You don't have to do major things. A little tshuva, a little showing up, a little davening more, a little learning more. And HaKadosh Baruch says, you sold me. I'm in love. I just want to give and give and give. I want to give you tshuva. I want to give you slicha, mechila, kapara. I want to have a closer relationship, a tighter embrace with you. That's the avodah of Ella. Ella is just it's a month of love. That's all it is. And then Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot, it just gets better and deeper and more intense, the relationship. And hopefully we could carry that like Reb Pinkus did, taking the relationship that he got with the Rabbeinu Shlom on Erev Pesach and just never stopping, just growing with it. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, the Elul of Tavshin Pei, or Tavshin Ayin Tes going into Tavshin Pei, will be an Elul that will be our breakthrough moment. That we'll be able to get closer to the Rabbeinu Shlom and begin our long journey, but a wonderful journey, to Godless, to Yerushalayim, and to Avas Hashem.